Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. This week's iTunes review is brought to you by Jackie O. Jazz Hands. She writes, a great, funny podcast about real topics we all struggle with. Kim gives great advice and support to people to live their best life. That just fills my heart. Thank you so much for taking the time to write me that 5-star review. And for those of you who have yet to leave that 5-star review, all you have to do is go on to iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast and do the same thing, and I will read it on the air. So thank you so much, Jackie O. Jazz Hands. It fills me up when I read those reviews from the heart. Enjoy the podcast. Hey, magic makers. Today is a topic that I have really wanted to explore, and I'm so grateful that I found Ms. Mary Alice Cepeda, because let me just say, it's a topic that many of us have in our lives, and sometimes it's those hard conversations that we need to have, but we can't have. And this is around toxic people. And I know that I've experienced toxic relationships in my life, and thank you, Lord, I am free of them. But I also know that there are some people who you might not know what's a toxic relationship because it's just been going on for so long. Or maybe you know it's toxic, but you're like, how the hell do I get out of this relationship? So with that said, that is why I find experts. And I have found Ms. Mary Alice, and she is here to help us dive into this topic of toxic relationships. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim.
So, you know, there's no other way to start but to start. What would you say, how would you define a toxic relationship?
Well, I think there's many ways you can define a toxic relationship because it doesn't just look like one thing, right? Mm-hmm. So when I think of like a toxic relationship, whether that be like familial, platonic, romantic, I think of when you have to change yourself for that other person, when you feel like you can't be yourself, when the bad outweighs the good, when you feel like the relationship is draining you, when you feel like you're walking on eggshells around that person, or that you can't express yourself freely, like those are signs of toxic relationships. And, you know, relationships like anything else can have the good and the bad, but generally they're supposed to be fun. Right. They're supposed to make you happy. You should feel loved. You should feel respected. And if ever you're not feeling those things, you should also feel free to voice that. Mm-hmm. If you're not feeling like you can voice when you don't necessarily feel loved or don't necessarily feel respected, then that's not good. That's not a good sign of anything. You should definitely be able to tell your significant other, tell your mother, tell your brother, hey, I don't like that. And for them to respect that, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, everything you said, because it's like, I feel like there's like a line where it could be just it's who they are, right? That's who they are. They don't know any different. But it also could be like, you know, you also hear people in, you know, abusive relationships that they have the same thing where, you know, you walk this fine line because you don't know what's the trigger for that person.
Absolutely, 100%. And I think that comes with the territory. You have to really be introspective in yourself and really know what makes you feel a certain kind of way, you know, because you may feel one way and you express that to the other person and they're like, well, I don't think that's a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's all about, like, we all have our different perceptions of things. And so I think the key in determining, like, you know, this might be a toxic situation, it might not be, is communication. That's the foundation for everything.
Yeah. You know, you're right. Cause I feel like, let's take a step back. You talk about perception, right? And I feel that, you know, what I see, what you see are going to be two different things. We could be looking at the same thing and I'm looking at the sky and I see blue and you look at the sky and you're like, it's purple. Like, and you know, it's up to us to be like, are you sure it's purple? What, you don't see blue versus just, you know, people pleasing our way through a situation because we don't want to rock the boat.
Exactly. And I definitely, I am 100% a recovering people pleaser. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to touch that. I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. But if you're making yourself uncomfortable to make someone else comfortable, that is an issue.
And 100%. And I see it, you know, and I feel like it's a woman thing, right? Because as women, I don't know if we are instructed or if it's something that we model, right? Mm-hmm. That we look that if I don't make too much noise, if I don't take up too much space, I won't be seen as this, you know, loudmouth or this person with an opinion or, you know, whatever the negative connotation is, if you were to speak your mind or have an opposite thought of whoever was having the thoughts.
100%. It's like, as women, we're expected to be a certain way, to look a certain way, to give off a certain thing. And when we don't, it feels like everything within the patriarchy and the male gaze, it kind of feels like we're trying to fit somewhere societally, because we all want connection. We all, you know, want to be connected to certain people in ways, whether that be in the office and, you know, personal relationships. We all want to be giving off. There's something inside us that's like, this is how I want to be perceived. And so you do your best to be perceived in that way. But really, how other people perceive you is none of your business if you know your intentions and you know who you are as a person. And that's not to say that that's the only thing that matters at all, because it's not. But just to say that perception isn't everything. And once again, it all comes right back around to communication. And that's what we need to be doing to ensure that, you know, there's no disconnect.
Yeah, 100%. And I always, when I was in corporate America, the last company I was with, you know, the owners of the company, it was a very small company, and the owners of the company, they hated having those hard conversations. And I come in and I came from, you know, a larger company, and we had those hard conversations, because if you didn't have the hard conversations, you didn't grow. And I know for a while it was very challenging for me, because I, you know, if I saw poop on the carpet, I said it. And it wasn't in a bad way. It was kind of like, if we ever want to get past this, we can't just say the room smells without saying the room smells because there's shit on the carpet.
Yeah.
And I feel that, you know, you've talked about it, trying to fit in, right? So in a corporate culture, or even in a relationship, you know, we're trying to fit in, not rock the boat. And, you know, we might start to just, it becomes the thing, we just swallow our feelings versus, like you said, have this open door communication. So how do I start to open the door and have those conversations and not feel like I'm being combative?
Well, I definitely think that it's something that is super hard, especially when you're not used to it. You know, that's definitely going to be something that you're going to have to work on, and it's going to take practice.
Right.
But I think you know, when you are someone who doesn't generally do that, you have to recognize that. When you're stuffing down those feelings, they're going somewhere. They're not just disappearing. You're going to have to deal with them one way or another. And it might not be the way you want to deal with it.
Yeah.
It might come off passive aggressive. You might see it. It's going to seep out into other parts of your world. And so to be able to deal with those issues allows you to take them on head on and not allow them to just fester inside of you. So if you're looking to do those kinds of things, I think that information is where you want to be, right? So look into the books. You know, I know some people have a thing about self-help. They work. A lot of them don't.
They do. Sometimes you got to kiss some frogs.
there's that. So you definitely want to be where the information is, and you definitely always want to be acquiring some knowledge. If, you know, something for me is that I don't do well with networking. It's so hard for me, but I'm going to where the knowledge is. Who does know that?
Right.
I'm going to them and trying to figure out how I can be better at doing those things. So if communication is not your strong suit, if taking on something head on isn't your strong suit, then look to those experts. They're out there.
Yeah.
And you can definitely figure out how to do that in a way that's right for you, because we all handle things differently. So you can find those resources. There is YouTube, the Google, all of that. It's out there.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because I think a lot of times whenever I know I'm struggling, and this is before there was a Google, like I always was there. I'm like, there's a book, right? Let's just be honest, other than Corona, there's no new problems out there, right? And even if you say that, it's a virus. Like, we've known that there's going to be this type of pandemic coming. And I'm sure if we go back to the book, and everyone keeps talking about 1918, if we go back to the book, I'm sure someone has read like, oh, we should do this. Oh, okay. This is what we should do. But there are truly no new problems. Maybe when like aliens land, that's a new problem. But there are really no new problems. And I, like you said, look to experts. Like, that's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, is that to have the conversations, because you talked about if I stuff down my feelings are coming out somewhere. And so I know from what I do for a living, it comes out, and me and Stan's Donuts have a standing date every time me and my boss, you know, my boss tells me to do something and I want to tell him to go jump in a lake, I head and have donuts versus telling him to go jump in the lake. Or yeah. I turn to the mommy juice if I'm having a hard day, or, you know, whatever it is that you turn to, or hell, you can even turn to exercise. You know, we all have whatever that vice when our needs aren't being met.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that one thing that I always say that I feel like it's helpful for other people is that, you know, you can definitely... It will seep out into other places in your life, and you get to choose sometimes how that seeps out. Like you said, if you need a glass of wine at the end of the night and, you know, just to relax and decompress, that's a way that it could come out where it's a little on the positive side, you know?
Right.
You can exercise positive side, because you can also go to therapy. I think therapy is amazing. I've been in therapy for about 6 years, and that's really how, I really unpack and get to know my triggers and decompress from whatever is holding me back throughout the day. But therapy isn't for everyone. So finding what your therapy is. Is it writing in a journal? Is it going out, getting some sun, getting some exercise? You really have to find out what that is for you. And that comes with really being introspective and getting to know yourself. So yeah, I think that's really important for everyone to do.
Yeah, no, I everything you just said is, I think the big place is that introspection. And I think that's the place where we all get a little nervous, that, you know, to sit in the quiet and just, you know, ask yourself, how do I feel? You know, or how did a situation make me feel? And be able to, like you said, unpack, like if I'm, you know, work, personal, whatever, if I'm always the person who's feeling bad, I need to unpack the why.
100%. you definitely need to be learning yourself and being comfortable with being alone with yourself. Mm. Really identifying your likes, your dislikes, the things that trigger you, the trauma that you may have gone through that needs to be unpacked, how you could be more vulnerable. Things like that are important with your relationship with yourself, because your relationship with yourself informs your relationship with other people. There's no two ways about it. That introspection needs to happen.
You know, when I first kind of started down this whole, like, you know, self-development mindset path, there was, I don't even know who said it. It wasn't me. So that, let's just make that clear. that they said how you, the way you allow someone to treat you is the way you treat yourself. And that was just like, you know, it was one of those just like, you know, like clap of thunder moments for me that I just like stopped in my tracks. And I was like, you're right. Like, I allow people to, you know, speak to me in a certain way. And now I'm like, you know what? I know I do give off that, like, don't give me any shit because it's coming right back at you.
Yeah.
And it's not like, and for me, I don't think it's in a me way. It's like, if you talk to me in a condescending way, I'm going to give it right back to you so that you recognize that it's condescending and you probably don't like it.
Yeah. 100%. It's definitely important to always be mindful of how other people are treating you. And if they are treating you disrespectfully and you allow it, why is that? What's happening there?
Yeah. 100%. And that was like the first thing. It was like, I allowed this behavior to happen. And so it's going to continue to happen because I allow it. And exactly. Even though, and you know, think about all of us have, the first time it happens, all of us have like driven home and you're like cursed them out. And you're like, I should have did this and I could have done that. And like, I know for me, as soon as I started having this conversation, I'm like, okay, all right, how do I handle this the next time? And my younger self didn't have, you know, the balls that I have now. But back then I was like, okay, just, you know, if someone is treating you that way, you don't have the balls just yet. You could always just be like, hey, let's table this conversation. And that way it kind of helped just diffuses it so that you can walk away and not be like, feel like you're being, you know, going into that people pleasing mode. But one of the other ways was that I just was like, hey, you know, the next time I saw them, like, hey, can I have 5 minutes? And just be like, you know, yesterday, like I didn't really like the conversation we had. And just hear what they have to say. Because sometimes I feel some people are just condescending and they don't realize it until someone calls them on their shit.
Exactly. I love what you just said just then of maybe you pull them aside the next day and have that conversation, because I feel like, you know, we're living in such a fast paced environment that you feel like if someone does something, you have to say it in that moment or it's done and you can never say anything, you know?
Right. And I know for me, like if I do something to you, like I sometimes can be clueless. I'll admit that. But if I do something to you and you bring it to my attention, and you say, hey, Kim, yesterday, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, shit, I did that? And I'm like apologetic of it because, yeah, I will be the first person to admit, I don't willfully hurt anyone's feelings, but there are times I have. And, you know, you have to tell me because I don't know. And I think, like you said, you know, if I'm a people pleaser, I don't want to rock the boat, I'm not going to say anything.
And a lot of that times, definitely, it's our own insecurities that make us zip our lips and not say anything. What will they think about me? They won't like me anymore. This is gonna, you know, lead to something completely different. And it's like, most people are really open to being like, oh, I am so sorry. I did not know I was doing that. And will be apologetic about it. But if you're holding it inside, you will never know. Right. It'll just be what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So how do you manage that? You know, I know for me, there are certain people that are just like, you know what? We're just not meant to be. And I, you know, it was a friendship. So I was like, you know what? I don't need to be friends with you anymore. But what if that same thing, it's your mom, your dad, your spouse, you know, it's like, how do you like navigate that?
So I think that, you know, getting out of any kind of relationship is going to be hard. If you have that attachment there, it's definitely going to be something that's going to be hard for you. So when you're contemplating like getting out of a relationship, you know, with a mother, let's say, or something like that, I think it's really important. Once again, you have that word introspection. It's all because it's all about you. It begins and ends with you. So you need to identify like why you're in this relationship. So if it's because it's your mother, it's because it's your mother.
Right, exactly.
If it's because it's a significant other, is it because you love this person? You know, is it because you have kids with this person? Like, what is the reason you are there? That's what you need to be looking at. And you want to identify what has led you to thinking that you want to be rid of this relationship. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. What has led you to be feeling this way? What kind of things have transpired that make you feel like there's no reconciliation possible? And, you know, really ask yourself if you are done, because you can read all the self-help books in the world. You can, you know, you can go and watch all the YouTubes you want. If you are not ready, you are not leaving. And it is as simple as that. It's not just the knowledge, the logical thinking of I deserve better or I'm unhappy, of I need to leave. You have to be ready in your heart, in your mind, in your everything to say, I'm done with this. And this is what I'm going to do. What you're thinking needs to be in alignment with how you feel. That's how it happens. I don't want to be treated like this. I'm gone. That needs to be in alignment.
Right. No, and you're right. Like I love how everything you said it, and I think it always, it comes back, and it's one of the things that I know I fist fought for a long time was, journaling. I fought it, fought it tooth and nail. And now it's done. It's been almost 5 years and it is like a lifeline. And so just as you were saying, it forced me to get introspective. And even if it's just for 5 minutes a day, and you write down, you know, how did that conversation make me feel? Or how did it make me feel when so-and-so said this to me? And so that you have, as you said, you know, was it because I was trying to fit in, so I didn't say anything? Was it because, you know, I, you know, had this like perception of who this person was or our relationship, so I just allowed? And, you know, taking that time to, like you said, have the quiet time and process.
Yes, process for sure. Because like I said, those feelings don't go away. Those thoughts don't go away. They live inside you. That's going to just be stuck in there, staying in there. And it's going to, you know, end up on someone that didn't even do anything to you.
Right. You know, you come home and you kick your dog because you had... Right. A conversation with someone else. And just so you know, we don't condone kicking of dogs.
Never. So yeah, for sure.
So is there a way that you're like, okay, so we're in, it could be a working relationship. You're like, I like my job, but you know, sometimes I have to work with assholes. You know, that's just life. I like my job, or, you know, I truly love my mom or my spouse or my sister, whoever it is. So how do I manage it? You know, how do I like, you know, I'm going to say that as much as we all think we can change people, we can't. And so if I choose that, you know, love over who they are, how can I, you know, manage it is, you know, the only way I can describe it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that boundaries are your friend. They are your superpower. They are foundational in any relationship. So if you're not used to setting them, it can definitely feel awkward and even impossible at times, but it's extremely empowering and extremely important for every relationship. So I read somewhere, I don't know where it was, but it definitely stuck with me. I read that boundaries are the distance at which I can love you and me at the same time. So you need to, that definitely, I hope that sticks with anyone out there listening that, that wants to set boundaries.
That stuck with me because I know that, and if you, when you set a boundary, you have to be, you have to set that boundary like it's like a Jersey barrier. That like it's gonna really take a lot to move it, because I see a lot of people who set boundaries and they'll be like, "Well, no, there's a reason why you set boundaries." And you put, just put it, that is just like hit the nail on the head. It's like, if I don't have this boundary, our relationship's gonna deteriorate.
100%. You really need to be setting boundaries with people so that they know where you're at with something. You can't just create it in your head, keep it up there, and then get mad when, you know,
right,
you didn't do what I said that you were going to do in my head. It has to come out words for words. You have to let that person know and really be communicating with them about what makes you uncomfortable and why, even, because you will get pushback.
Oh,
if
absolutely.
It's someone like your mother, if it's someone like a best friend, you will 100% get pushback. So being able to know for yourself your why am I setting this boundary? Why do I need this? How is what this person's doing affecting me? And why do I want to put this boundary in place? And being able to communicate that with the other person, I think will do wonders for anyone. 100% pushback will happen. 100% it will be uncomfortable, especially when, you know, you've never utilized that before.
Right.
But when you set that boundary and you maintain that boundary, because that's the key right there, maintaining. You can't just set and run. You have to set, keep setting, reset. So
reminding.
That the person, 100%, definitely.
Yeah, no,
so
no,
that it sticks.
Right. And I absolutely love that, because I did a podcast last year about burnout. And one of the things she said, why people get burnt out is because we let resentments build up. And we're spending all, like, you know, if you continually push at something that I want to establish a boundary around, you don't know that. And inside I'm like, the hell, like, come on. Like, why is she doing this all the time? Why, you know, why does he keep doing this? And you're like, you've never told them that it was a problem. So of course I'm going to continue doing it, because you never said stop.
And just because you think something should be like common sense or whatever, doesn't necessarily mean the other person knows that, you know?
My husband always says this to me. He's like, when, you know, we see like something ridiculous, and he's like, my grandmother always said, common sense isn't common.
There it is.
And it is. And you know, I've worked in restaurants and I've worked in gyms, and some of the stuff that you see, you're like, dang, I would have never predicted that.
Exactly. It's like we'd like to think like our view of the world is maybe how everyone sees it. It's like, it's not. We were all raised differently. We all have different things that we value. So just because you think something's supposed to go one way, another person might see it as, I don't even know why you're reacting like that. It's not even that big of a deal, you know?
All right. So just because you said that, a thought popped into my head that I'm going to take a left turn. And I'm going to talk about something I have never talked about on the show, but because we're talking about toxic, it makes sense to talk about it. So what you just said about how I see the world and how you might see the world or someone else might see the world, it makes me think about how we are right now as far as politics, right? Mm-hmm. We have the people so rooted in the past administration of how, you know, everything was wrong about what transpired with the election. And then we have people on the other side who's like, hey, it was an election. The end.
Yeah.
Time to move on. So how does, is there a way to start, you know, everyone talks about this healing, right? Mm-hmm. But everyone, like, I feel like everyone, the relationship between both sides is just so toxic because everyone just so permanently believes what they believe. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in families, not aside from politics, I'm sure in families, there are those same rifts about whatever, you know, the way you treated grandma or, you know, whatever went down in a family relationship. So if there's something just so, you know, it brings up such visceral feelings, is there healing that can happen?
I do think that there's healing that can happen. And I don't think that that healing can happen without help. I don't think that's something that, that you can just do without any outside intervention, only because, you know, some people are really, like you said, rooted in how they feel, and they're not going to change that. And they're never going to see your side of things because, you know, it might be inconceivable to them to even think the way that you're thinking. So I definitely think outside intervention would be how to help. Like, I personally, I don't know how we fix the political issues in the U.S. and stuff like that, because I genuinely do not feel like there is acknowledgement and acceptance of certain things. And I don't think there's healing without that. There's no healing if you're blind to the things that that someone else is feeling. So say in like familial relationships, there's not necessarily going to be healing if you do not see what I'm saying. You don't necessarily have to agree with it, but to acknowledge it and accept it and say, I recognize that that is how you feel. That is important.
Yeah. No.
If there's none of that, there's no moving forward.
Agreed. And even if it's like, you know, like you said, if I believe the sky is purple and you believe the sky is blue, and no matter how many times I show you that it's blue or how many times you show me that it's purple, we're still going to be miles apart. But is there a way for us to agree to disagree and be able to kind of say, on this issue right here, you know, you're never going to convince me of your side and I'm never going to convince you of my side, but if we can kind of put a pin in this piece, can we move past it? Or is it something we'll always kind of like bring that thing out of the closet?
Yeah, I think, like we were saying earlier, like it's really important to know yourself and know what you will allow, what you will accept, what is okay for you. Because if you say stick a pin in it, and anytime that pin comes out, there's chaos,
right?
You know, that can't happen. So what are you willing to accept? What are you willing to say? Listen, I may never get an apology for this, and I am okay with that.
Yes.
And continue healing how you need to heal, you know, because healing is very personal, and no one can really tell you how to heal from something, especially like really deep things like maternal relationships and paternal relationships. Nobody can tell you how to heal from those things, how to move forward from those things. That's 100% up to you how you deal with it. You can acquire information, knowledge that helps you lead you to the decision that you want to do. But at the ultimately, it's 100% on you to say, how am I willing to move forward? Even if I never get that apology, how am I willing to move forward? Even if I don't feel like this person sees me for who I am or the experiences that make me who I am, you know, how do you move forward personally without any intervention from anybody else? You know?
Yeah, no, I absolutely like that. 'Cause you're right. If, you know, whatever the argument that I have is, and if I say, hey, let's agree to disagree, and we're just going to move forward. We're not, you know, whenever that subject comes up, we're just going to say agree to disagree and move forward, versus, like you said, that person who can't, you know, and every time, you know, rips the Band-Aid off and brings it up, it's, you know, you won't ever have an opportunity to heal. And, you know, who knows, maybe, I don't know how far in the future, when feelings aren't so on the surface.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You might be able to have a different conversation or a different perspective of the situation.
There's definitely something to the time heals all.
Does.
So letting something breathe, you might even come to a different conclusion about it once you've had some time to think about stuff. So definitely giving something some time to breathe, and who knows, maybe you might not come to a different decision, but really sitting with yourself and thinking about those things can really help a lot. Journaling, talking to somebody else about it. Just being sure that you're looking at things from different points of view, not necessarily from the other person's point of view, but different things within yourself. You know, I can look at something 60 different ways and then still come back to the same conclusion. You know, those are the kinds of things that you want to be trying to pull out of yourself.
You know, and it's funny, and it's kind of like, as you said, I don't think, you know, without my self-development work, would we be having this conversation? Would I be able to, in other situations, kind of pull myself out of the situation and kind of look at it from like a bird's eye view so that I can, you know, and in, yeah. in the moment, and you know, I'm not superhuman, but like, you know, sometimes it's like, I will admit there are emotions involved. And when emotions are involved, it's really easy to just, you know, blow it up to be this like huge thing where if you kind of take a breath and just, you know, what's like, just kind of like what's happening right now in the moment versus mm-hmm. catastrophizing it in your brain.
Yeah, 100%. Sometimes you have to like pull it out of your brain to really be looking at it for what it is. Because like you said, when emotions are involved, things can get tricky. Things can get sticky. You could really, that made me think of like, you know, certain people who will look at a relationship and be like, you know, look at all this time I've invested. I could never leave. Or, yeah, you know, I've known this person for 10 years, 12 mm-hmm. years. It's like, and how much more time are you going to know this person for making you unhappy? How much more time are you going to invest in something that, you know, that where your interest, your are not first? You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the times, if you're not putting, we all have this thing within us where we're like putting our best interests at heart. Right. So you need to be doing that for yourself. A lot of the times we'll take the other person's interest and put that in front of ourselves when they might not necessarily be doing the same things. And so if they're not looking out for your best interest and you're not looking out for your best interest, then where do you come into play?
Right. And, you know, let's be honest, everyone's selfish, right? You know,
100%.
As much as you think that you are altruistic, everyone's selfish. And I'm going to say something that might be controversial. Even Mother Teresa was selfish because it filled her up to go out and serve the poor.
Mm-hmm.
There was a self-interest there. Even if she was, you know, helping other people, she did it because that filled her up. So everything you do has a little spin on my own self-interest. Now, some people are a little bit more selfish than others, but let's be honest. But most of it is because, like, you know, because I want to or I don't want to. And you
exactly
know, as we talked, you know, me setting a boundary is, especially, you know, for us ladies, saying no, that's a great boundary for us to learn when we really don't want to bake cookies for the bake sale, or we really don't want to go to whatever or take on another project.
Kim, it's breaking up a little bit.
Ooh, I hear you. Okay. Am I back?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it must, whenever it starts to rain, my internet gets a little wonky.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Good. Well, you're in the Boston area.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I live in Cambridge.
Yeah. I'm in over in Hyde Park.
Ah, so yeah. So not that far.
Yeah.
Okay. So
the last thing I heard was bake sale.
So what I said is that, well, we talked a lot about boundaries, and I think one of the boundaries that I always try to bring to my clients is the word no.
Mm-hmm.
And no is a complete sentence. Like, I don't have to say to you, I don't have to say no because of A, B, C, or D. I just don't want to damn do it. The end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's something within us where we're like, no, I feel so bad. There's guilt there. And it's like, you should never feel guilty about saying no. Whatever your reasons are, no, like you said, is a complete sentence, period.
Well, because I notice it in myself sometimes, like, I'll like feel like, and like, you have to go with your gut. Like, if your gut is like, no, stick with it, because whenever the time comes to do that thing, you're just going to be like, oh Lord, man, why did I say yes? And, you know, you're just going to be like,
yeah,
you know, driving there or whatever it is you have to do. And like the whole time, just like kicking yourself in the butt that you said yes.
100%. It's a disservice to you and it's a disservice to the other person because they could find someone who's really enthusiastic about doing whatever it is they're asking you to do. And you could be sitting on your couch doing nothing, but instead you're on your way to do whatever it is that you just said yes to.
Right. Or you feel guilty because that's the choice you want. Like, I just want to sit on my couch and do nothing, where no one knows. Like, I say this because my aunt, she's a nurse, and my aunt works, you know, 3 24-hour shifts. Like, that's her week. And, mm-hmm. you know, if someone wants that fourth shift, if she just wants to sit on her butt after working 3 24-hour shifts, she shouldn't feel guilty saying no. And so she does. And so she'll 100%. Like make a deal. She'll make a deal like, oh, I'll work 12 if you can find someone to work the other 12. And then eventually she just started being like, you know what? Like, for the last 20 years, this is what I've done. I've, you know, sacrificed just me sitting on the couch after 3 days of working solid. And I'm going to do that with no explanation to you other than no,
100%.
I can't.
100%. Exactly. And, you know, a thing to definitely keep in mind is that just because, you know, you don't have anything to do doesn't mean you are free. Right. That's your time to do as you please.
Right.
And that's it.
Right. I mean, we all need our ways to unwind.
100%. Self-care at its finest. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, as a lady, I think, you know, we always feel like if we're not, you know, grinding ourselves into the ground, then, you know, we're not worthy.
Exactly. And it's like taking care of yourself is doing something.
Right. Exactly. 100%.
Sitting on the couch with your glass of wine while, you know, everybody else around you is still moving, that's doing something. Going to sleep and taking a nap, that's taking care of yourself.
Right. So
doing what feels good to you will always be what you should be doing first.
Right. And I think about like my grandmother. I was like, I don't think in all of my years alive, I think I've seen her sit down like 3 times.
Yeah. Same with me.
And I'm like, I might be exaggerating the 3 times.
Oh my goodness. Yes. My mother as well. Honestly, that woman works like nobody I've ever seen. And I'm like, okay, good for you. I'm glad that you would like to do something if she's not doing something, she feels like, no, this is impossible. I can never just sit down and relax, but you can. And yeah. I definitely take that from her where I'm like, I never want to look back and say that I was always doing something. I want to sit here and do nothing. I want to sit here and light incense and, you know, binge watch this TV show on Netflix and feel like that is okay. 100%.
I know. I'm the biggest fan of, you know, I teach class on Fridays, and every Friday I'm like, hey, what you doing for the weekend? And everyone's like, oh, I'm like, sitting on your ass is a plan. Like, I don't need, like, I'm not asking you like, oh, I'm climbing Kilimanjaro this weekend. No, if you were like, I'm sitting on my ass and I might not get out of my pajamas, I'm like, that's fabulous. Can I come over? Like, that is a plan.
Exactly. I'm notorious for writing a to-do list 100 miles long and then sitting down and doing nothing, because that's what I don't feel like doing anything on that list. You know what I feel like doing? I feel like laying down and enjoying my weekend because I've done something all week, and that's 100% fine.
Yeah.
So giving yourself that grace, I think, is really important.
Yeah. 100. Like, I think you nailed it. It's, even in this whole toxic culture, it's like, give yourself grace. Give yourself the benefit of the doubt that your feelings are valid, right? Because so many times, as you said, we want to fit in. We want to be perceived as like, you know, getting along, you know, going along with the flow. When you're like, you know what? This flow ain't the stream I want to be in. And it's okay.
Yeah. There's no need to try to bend yourself to fit into what somebody else thinks is good, perfect, okay. What do you think? That's what you need to be trying to fit into, because nobody lives in your body but you. You're the only one who's going to have to deal with it and live with it. So making sure that you are happy with yourself is number one. Not what, you know, your coworkers think, not what your mother thinks, not what anybody else thinks, but what you think and the decisions you make for yourself. You're the only one living with those things.
Yeah. Exactly. I absolutely love, 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 love this conversation. And so I found you on Instagram. So let my people know where they can find you on Instagram.
Yes, you can find me at Toxic AF Pod.
Right. And what is one thing that makes you feel magical?
One thing that makes me feel magical. A lot of things make me feel magical. Ooh. In true fashion, I can never say just one. What makes me feel magical? I did my hair this morning. My hair makes me feel magical. It, you know, it tangles. It it gives me a hard time, but it makes me feel magical. I feel like my hair is beautiful. I feel like I'm beautiful. I make myself feel magical. I do have those days where where I am just down and out, but I think that my personality makes me magical. I love to laugh. And if anything, that's what I'm going to do. So yeah.
It's funny. That's one of the things I always say. I'm like, I love to laugh and I have to laugh at least like once a day. And I'm fortunate that in my life, I have people that make me laugh. And if I don't, I go to YouTube and like anyone slipping and falling, I'm good.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm on, my new thing is TikTok. So I'm on there all day, just laughing.
I'm like, I wish I was like that creative.
Same. I'm on there all day, just looking at these Gen Zs and millennial kids, and they are doing it. If I had half that creativity, I would be a superstar. Like
me too.
All like, the likes and the views that they get are well-deserved.
100%. Cause I'm like, screw the health thing. I'm like, if I could just go on there and act like an idiot, I would win.
So 100%. Oh my goodness.
So all you TikTok stars out there, two snaps up and a TikTok, cause you guys are like crushing it.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking your time with me. This has been like exactly what I wanted. And I hope for those of you who are in these relationships, you figure out how to set those boundaries and just take the time to even realize what your boundaries are so that you can have those conversations. And when that toxicity pops up in your life, you can recognize it and not just fluff it off.
100%.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been so much fun.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.